Certainly, it would have been enough if God had only been revealed as the Creator, making everything out of nothing. It would have been enough if God had only fashioned us in His image and likeness. It would have been enough if, after humanity sinned, God had only offered us the hope of salvation. It would have been enough if God had only saved Noah from the waters of the destroying flood, and then offered the nations a covenant sealed with the pledge of an incandescent rainbow. It would have been enough if God had only called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and promised him descendants as numerous as the stars in the endless skies. It would have been enough if God had only saved Israel from bitter slavery in Egypt, given Moses the law, made a covenant with his chosen people, given Aaron and his sons as priests, and taught them all the sacred rituals of sacrifice. It would have been enough if God had only given the promised land to his people, and then given them the people set apart, the judges and kings, the prophets and sages, the ecstatic psalms and the wise proverbs. It would have been enough if God had only sent a Messiah to liberate one people, Israel. But in the fullness of time, in endless mercy, with steadfast love, God sent His only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, as Lord and Redeemer of the whole world. It would have been enough if Jesus had only taught us His gospel and worked miracles of mercy. It would have been enough if Jesus, with incomparable condescension, had only washed the feet of His disciples, giving all of us an example of His selfless love. Now, the merest drop of His most precious blood could wash away all the evil, all the malice, all the hatred, cruelty, all the blasphemy and sacrilege, all the sins of the entire world. That would have been more than enough. But on this night, the dayspring of light, the perfect atonement, the sweet Lord and Savior, He sweat blood in agony, was abandoned by His friends, was roughly bound, was mocked, beaten, and spit upon. He would be harshly questioned. He would be cruelly scourged. He would be crowned with thorns and callously exposed before the hatred of His enemies. Exhausted, He would carry a heavy cross. His hands and feet would be nailed to the wood. He would behold His most blessed mother beneath His cross, united with Him in His terrible suffering. He would be offered vinegar to drink. He would cry out in dereliction. He would die on the cross. His most sacred heart would be pierced with a spear. That would have been ever so much more than enough to manifest the outpouring of our Savior's love for us. But what we especially remember on Holy Thursday night is the wondrous truth that the extravagant love of Jesus is truly without end. Because on Holy Thursday night, Jesus, our High Priest, left us the memorial of his sacred passion and death to be proclaimed until he comes again in glory. On this night, Jesus instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. On this night, Jesus established the priesthood of the New Testament when he commanded, "Do this in memory of me." The bread of angels, the inexhaustible reality of God, upon which the cherubim with their many eyes and the glorious seraphim with their many wings had for all eternity feasted their gaze, has now become the bread of men, our food and our drink. The most blessed sacrament is the antidote for death, and so is the foretaste of life without end. Did not the Lord himself promise, "Whoever eats my flesh or drinks my blood will live forever"? The flesh and blood of Jesus, truly born of the Virgin, now truly risen and glorified at the right hand of the Father, welcomes us at Mass into Holy Communion. With the ceaseless, everlasting love shared by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Finally and definitively, is this enough? Is this more than enough to win our hearts and change our lives? At the end of this Mass of the Lord's Supper, the sanctuary of this cathedral will be cast into darkness. The tabernacle doors will be left open. The lights will be extinguished. The sacred linens of the altar will be thrown to the floor, and the fonts will all be emptied out. The most holy Eucharist, the source and the summit of the entire life of the Church, will then be carried under a canopy with the greatest possible reverence, surrounded with candles and incense, enveloped by our love and our adoration, and carried to the altar of repose. We will chant, "Pange lingua, sing my tongue the Savior's glory for so great a sacrament." This night, we will also go on pilgrimage to neighboring churches to watch and pray as Jesus asked of his friends on that first Holy Thursday night. Holy Thursday will give way to Good Friday, and on Easter, the darkness of the tomb will surrender to the glory of the resurrection. So, is this enough? Is this more than enough for all of us to accept the transforming, the consoling truth that our God's love is without end?